This week, the Working Tools podcast is on the road at the Conference of Grandmasters of North America, being held right here in Seattle, Washington. So our format's a little different. We're going to have a series of short interviews with the attendees. We hope you enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, brethren all, welcome to the Working Tools podcast, a casual conversation around Freemasonry. First, it's important to note that our thoughts and opinions are our own and do not reflect those of our Grand Lodge or respective craft or concordant bodies. Please connect with us and ask questions via our website at theworkingtoolspodcast.com.
So in our continuing interviews here at the Conference of Grandmasters in Seattle, we are lucky to have a representative from the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction. So would you please introduce yourself?
I am so happy to be here. I'm Linda Patch. I'm the Senior Director of Marketing and Communications for the Scottish Rite Northern Masonic Jurisdiction. My history with them, just briefly, is interesting. I've actually been part of the organization since 1990.
Oh, wow.
I have worked in every nook and cranny of the charities and on the fraternal side. I had my own business. That's how it started. Mm-hmm. They were a client for many years. And 9 years ago, Commander McNaughton, former Sovereign Grand Commander, just made me an offer. I couldn't refuse to build a program to help promote Masonry. It was tabula rasa. A marketing program hadn't been done. And it was just a perfect time in my life to just leave the client world and, you know, competing pressures all the time to just focus on something that I have a personal story of why I'm so dedicated to the organization. We can get to that in a moment, but it was an offer I couldn't refuse. So it's been 9 years that I've been on staff full time.
That's fabulous. And during that time, you spent a lot of time on the Path Forward program?
We started the Path Forward program, actually, again, with past Commander McNaughton. He was in office for 11 years and wanted to do a treatise on the state of the craft at the end of his time. And after hours of conversation with him, I convinced him the last thing Freemasonry needed was another opinion piece. And we needed to move forward based on data. Let's see what the state of the craft really is. How is it perceived among American men? What, if anything, would entice them to join? What is the messaging we should have? And what kind of, you know, trends and demographic pressures are at work that affect all of this? So that was the book, Reclaiming the Soul of Freemasonry, in 2016. Then in 2023, the Supreme Council, NMJ, gave us the green light to completely update the entire body of work. So we did that. We increased the number of respondents from 1,000 to 3,500 non-Masons, American men from across the country, diverse backgrounds, to assess the same kinds of things. What do they think of Freemasonry? What will make them join? What messages resonate? And what trends and you know, pressures in the world are colliding to have us choose a direction or have us affect the way we move forward?
So that was, when you say data gathering, just for my own brain, we're talking about actually going out to, like, I mean, you just said it, to non-Masons and asking them their opinion of things. Did you combine that then with data from what's going on in Grand Lodges or in the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction? Or?
We work through One Poll. They're a very respected marketing research firm. They work with Hershey's and Marriott, and it was a random double opt-in survey. And we didn't just repeat the 2016 survey, but really tried to get at cultural pressures in particular to help inform what we're doing. To say that we have coordinated with any Grand Lodge research in directly integrating results, we have not done that.
Interesting. So it's
probably a smart thing.
That was, you had remarked just before we started recording that some people would say that, you know, maybe this isn't, we have all this information kind of thing. And I was saying about getting up on my soapbox, so here we go. I maintain that Grand Lodges have a lot of data that they just never use. Is having a Scottish Rite body near a lodge a an indicator that that lodge is going to do better or worse, nobody knows.
Right.
As having a, you know, a rainbow assembly meeting in your building help, nobody knows. Everybody has a feeling about it. You ask 10 Masons, you'll get 12 opinions about it. But there's no actual data that people have looked at saying this helps, this hurts, you know, don't do this kind of thing.
The data also helped us inform everything we do, right? The entire campaign, the Not Just a Man, a Mason campaign, which is available to all Grand Lodges. It's translated into Spanish and into French and several other languages. It's being used all around the world. Every headline, every image in there has been drawn from the data. We take the raw information, and then that's when you add your experience. That's when you add your commitment. That's when you add, you know, the personal perspectives on it to translate it into something that's inspirational, compelling, and actionable for the modern man. And that's why the campaign, Not Just a Man and Mason, has been really a very effective tool for helping men begin their journey into the craft. And then the second thing that we did was we did some research on internet search on Freemasonry in 2016, and we found it was a frustrating business, right? It was, at best, reams of irrelevant information at times, and some of the things that are so unfair, and they're not true, and it's all the stuff that's really detrimental to the craft. We're like, we need to push this all down, and we need to raise the real story up. So the NMJ, in partnership with Shriners, full partnership with Shriners International, and the Southern Jurisdiction, we built BeAFreemason.org. And the purpose of the site was to create what we called a front door to Masonry. A place that it utilizes the campaign, drawn from data, we know it works, men respond to it, but it's telling through everything on that site the true story of what Freemasonry stands for in its nobility and through its values, you know, forthrightly and at the center of the website. It also has a lead generation portal where we collect leads, and we do send them to a Grand Lodge who wants to participate. They indicate whether it goes to Grandview or if they have a particular individual that it goes to. Now, here's how this has worked out. Since 2020, when we lost BeAFreemason.org, we have sent 125,000 leads to Grand Lodges across the United across America, 90,000 plus to Grand Lodges in the U.S. So here we now have proof of concept, right? Year over year, there's no feeling that this is abating anytime soon. In fact, it's growing. But proof of concept, men are looking to join, men want to join. They just need help to find their way. Now, the only bit of unpleasant information I have is that the we also study follow up. So we have we surveyed the leads in the 125,000 men in there, and in 2023, and 83% had never heard back from anyone.
That's a shame. That's a travesty.
It's really a shame. So tomorrow, I mean, one of the talks I'm doing here at the conference will be on not just guys, you need to follow up, but the macro of what it means. It's not just a task in a box. It's a holistic process that has so many ramifications, negative and positive, if you do it, if you don't do it, or if you do it correctly. So we're going to dig into that tomorrow.
That's excellent.
I'm looking forward to that.
Has the NMJ or the sub-jurisdiction or even Shriners considered kind of, hey, we built this thing, you're messing it up, we're going to take this back and contact those other 80% of the people and try to help them progress in their interest? I know sometimes people may be late at night and they're like, oh yeah, I might be a Mason, and they click, oh, I'm interested.
Right.
But there's a double opt-in, so they have to go through a couple of things. Like, they're somewhat serious.
Right.
I've been in sales before, and when somebody walks through the door, they obviously drove into town, got out of their car, walked into your store, they're there for a reason. So if it's a double opt-in, they're there pretty seriously. So
that's right.
Has there been any consideration to kind of taking that back and saying...
You know, that's a really excellent question, and you put your finger right on the pulse of a discussion. I was down at the Shrine in Tampa a couple of weeks ago, and it's still an unformed amoeba of a plan. It's not to really take it back, but it is to
foster it.
Yes, something is brewing where we need to create a central plan, a central situation with Grandview or other CRMs. We're looking at it. We do have to address it. And the other thing that we found that was interesting, that kind of blew my mind, to be honest, is there is a feeling afoot in some places that digital leads are less worthy, that they are somehow it's not worth following up with them. Well,
these days it's all you're going to get, it seems.
I think if you gave someone in their 60s or 70s a petition who was interested, they'd say, can't I do this online? I mean, I think they would. I think it's just the paper world has gone. It's just gone. And the other thing about the digital lead issue, you know that any business is just relying on digital leads right now. And if they're not coming in, I mean, you're facing collapse. So here are hundreds of thousands of leads coming in. It just baffles me that's an opinion that's afoot, because to tie it together with what we learned in the 2023 study, again, the cultural pressures and what has changed in the past decade, the norms and trends and whatever, you know, I'm of age, I'm working on the present, I'm helping, I hope, to plan the future, but I'm not the future. You know, people my age, men my age, are not, I hate to say it, we're not the future. We're looking at the millennial generation to be the target market. They're in their early 40s now. Their life is changing. They're able to have more, you know, their kids are growing and they have more opportunities to look far afield for things that are meaningful and to commit. They're a generation that definitely has responsibility and equality and a call to service as part of their identity. They really, in the survey that we did, 77% of those millennials said they would be interested in joining Freemasonry, especially after they learned more about what you stand for. And that was higher than any other generation. So this is the digital native generation, right? The first one, and you're not going to follow up on digital leads?
Yeah, in our very small microcosm of analytics that we have for the show, it's 100% positive. 35 to 45, the peak is at 40, basically. That's our demographic that watches and subscribes to the show. So we understand exactly that's the market, 35 to 45. 35. I mean, I'm outside that. I'm on the other end of that.
Yes.
But still. That's
I'm glad I'm not.
I mean, I ask my kids, how did you all get older than me?
So you alluded to an interesting story about how you came to this position. Would you be willing to share?
Yeah, that? Well, my dedication to the position. I had been on contract with the organization for some time, and I had a son during that time, and he came to be diagnosed with dyslexia. And, you know, that throws your world into a bit of a tailspin. And luckily we caught him early and all of that, but my husband and I were, now what do we do? And the Scottish Rite, one of their major charities, is the Children's Dyslexia Centers. And I went to the executive director at the time, Joe Berlandi, and I'll never forget the encounter. And I was, you know, trying to hold it together, but I was, what do I do? You know, how do I do it? And he took me by the arm and he said, we take care of our own. And he waited his turn. He didn't jump the line, but he got into the program, and he is now, he went to Boston College. He's now a biochemist. He applied to medical school, didn't go because of the debt, but did get in, and wrote his essay. I didn't tell him to do this, but he wrote it on his experience at the Dyslexia Center.
Oh, wow.
And how it helped him. It changed, it saved our family. It saved him from losing his self-esteem, and My heart will tell you that whatever little bit of good I can do for Freemasonry or the Scottish Rite, I'll never repay. I will never repay what they did for that, our son and our, by extension, our family.
Wow, that's a terrific story.
Wow, powerful.
I I don't know that we could say anything else in this interview that would beat that.
And the my husband joined because of it. Right. My husband said, "What? Who does this? We have got to give back." So that's what propelled him to becoming a Mason. I'll just add one more thing, though, about your audience can find all of the results of the new study, and it's available in a new book that's just about to be put on Amazon, I think within the next couple of days, and you can find it on Amazon, The Path Forward, Reclaiming the Soul of Freemasonry, and all the proceeds from the sale of the book go to the Grand Almoner's Fund to help brothers in need. But I think, you know, a Freemason who's interested in where it's going and the real promise of what can be, this can be really a time of real resurgence for this organization. It absolutely can be. Everything points in that direction between the crisis in disconnection and male friendship, which is having them seek out ways to connect and grow, to the changing demographics and their identity aligning with what you have to offer. So just a little pitch for the book.
Oh, no, absolutely.
The main website's Be for Mason, but is the Scottish Rite have its own website that allows Grand Lodges? You mentioned it's all available to Grand Lodges.
Oh, that's right. Terrific. Yes, I've done that. The campaign, Not Just a Man, a Mason, is on the Scottish Rite website. You can go to srnmj.org and click on resources, and you'll see the path forward. And all of the materials are there. They're free of charge. And we also have a service through our media department that will customize it for Grand Lodges, local lodges. If you'd like to use it, we'll add your URL, we'll add your call to action, your logo, whatever you would like. So we do offer that. And it's been widely taken advantage of around the country. So
that's great.
I think my lodge may need one of those.
Yes, right?
Yes, please. Yeah. Please reach out. We'd be more than happy to provide it.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, you're very welcome. This was really fun. Thank you for asking. And thank you for having me.
We're glad to have you.
So much. Have a good afternoon.
So today is day three of the Conference of Grand Masters in Seattle, and we have the pleasure of being with Most Worshipful Brother Steve C. Martin, the Grand Master of the Most Worshipful Grand Lodge of Free and Accepted Masons of Washington. Most Worshipful Sir, thanks for taking some time out with us.
Good morning. Great to be here. Glad I could finally come by.
Thank you.
So I'm assuming you've been to these before? This is not your first rodeo?
Yeah, this is my third one. I went to Milwaukee and then Virginia and now here.
So you were going to be junior grand warden for the one that was canceled. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep. Yeah. I was all nervous because when you get elected junior, you find out that you have to do a presentation at the Western Conference. And so I was scared about that, and then they canceled it. And so I got to do my presentation from the comfort of my own living room, you know. And but then at that same virtual conference, that's when they said, oh, by the way, we're doing it in 2024 in Seattle. And, of course, I started doing the math. It's like, wait a minute, senior, deputy, okay.
Yeah, you did a lot more talking today, I guess, than you
Yep. But I'm a lot more prepared for it now than I was then, so. I feel like I've gotten pretty good at talking.
No comment. So, I guess what, as the host delegation, as the host country, what stands out to you as highlights of this?
You know, the work that Most Worshipful Brother Jim Mendoza has put into making sure that everything runs smoothly, making sure we had people at the airport, we had people at the light rail stations, we had people at the Seattle Center, we had people here, just the amount of work that Most Worshipful Brother Jim has put into making this run off perfectly, I can't thank him enough. I'm getting all the kudos and credit for it, but he's the one that did all the work.
As I recall from my time as deputy, taking credit for everything is your job. So.
Yeah, and that's cool because, you know, I got to do a lot of it also, but it would not have been nearly as smooth if it were not for Most Worship Brother Jim. And the entertainment and the, you know, just everything about this conference, I haven't heard a bad thing about it from anybody. So,
and, well, in that case. No.
and the army he recruited to support.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hundreds of.
Yeah, I believe he has over 200 volunteers. Again, you know, because everywhere you look, there's a volunteer ready to do something for you. So, and the other delegations, the other states, the other countries have really noticed that as well, that they make comments that they can't even turn around without having somebody there wanting to help them. So, done a great job.
That's great. Yeah. Representing Washington well.
Yeah, and you know, just the opening session, what we really wanted to do is highlight Washington Masonry. And, you know, with the youth groups presenting the flags, with, you know, our Rainbow Girl doing all three of the national anthems, Rob Thompson, the Grand Chaplain, doing a great opening prayer, Zane McEwen with his keynote speak, you know, he gave his keynote, and then every presentation after that in the day tied back to what he had to say. People were like, well, how'd you plan that? I didn't plan it. Zane's just that good. So we succeeded in making Washington Masonry, the whole Masonic family in Washington, look really good.
Things happen like that as if by magic, I say.
Yeah.
There's an ether, I do believe, that weaves in among those people that are speaking and delivering messages sometimes that just you can't control. And it's the energy and the spirit and all that.
The ergogor or whatever. I forget what the word exactly is, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure. We're also part of the Western Conference. Did you attend that session as well then?
Yep. The Western Conference was on Friday, and it went really well. We just go over. We have committees in the Western Conference, like committees on education. We've got a committee that we put together that is looking into the transgender, you know, and how we deal with that in Masonry. And so we just reported on that, and, you know, it was a good time.
I noticed that was going to be a topic on the list, and then it seemed to mysteriously disappear from the main conversations. And so I was curious. I don't want to ask you on air about necessarily how that went, but I'm curious to see if there's any kind of report or anything. I'm curious to ask you on air, but I'm not going to do that. We were joking that because when I saw it on the list, I thought, well, we'll get guys to sit down or grandmasters and whatever and say, well, where are you from? Is it for Carlton's? Oh, how's about that transgender issue? Yeah. So,
okay. But, you know, it's none of the decisions that we make here are because we're all our own sovereign entity, you know, we can't make decisions that affect everybody, but we talk about how we're dealing with it. You know, and we've looked at, in Washington, we've talked to the lawyers, we've talked to, you know, looking at the ancient landmarks, everything, and how we're going to adopt it, how we're going to deal with it. And, you know, it's in a nutshell, if you identify as a man, you can petition Lodge. Now, the Grand Lodge is not going to say you can or can't be a Mason. That's up to the Lodge.
Because each Lodge is essentially sovereign as well, to some extent.
Absolutely, absolutely. So if, you know, it's up to the Lodges on who they elect for membership. So, but we've taken the stance that, you know, if you identify as a man, you can petition a Lodge.
I'm also interested to see, or to potentially listen to Akram's presentation on female Freemasonry. That's interesting to me to see. To hear what is there to be said about it.
You know, and California has done a really good job of the female Masonry and the co-Masonry that they have in California, where it's not mutual recognition, but they talk.
Mutual cooperation.
Yeah. So when we have women that come and want to become a Mason in Washington right now, it's like, well, no, you can't be a Mason. Not necessarily true. If we open up that dialogue, not mutual recognition, you know, but that dialogue to where we can say, hey, you can't join our group, but there's this group over here. So we're working towards that. We've got a little ways to go.
Yeah. But. And like in California, with that cooperation, if one organization helps the other, essentially, especially philanthropically, if, you know, the Lady Freemasons of California raise $1 million for something, the Freemasons of California, they recognize, they stand with them in support, and congratulations, and well done, right?
Yep, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I was at the annual communique in California, and they actually had the Grand Master of, I think it was Co-Masonry, come to one of their open sessions and talk, and a female. And it was... It was a little surreal, you know, but it was, you know, I think it's a good thing. That open communication is a good thing.
My understanding is they have regional conferences, the Western and Central and Eastern. Do they all occur here as well, the same, or are they a different time? Do you have any concept of those?
There's two, the Western Conference and the, I believe it's the Midwestern Conference, meet here when we do this conference. The other ones do it at other times.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if they all meet at Conference of Grandmasters or not.
Nope, they have many of them have different times in the year that they do it. But it's been pretty cool here where we've got, 64 delegates. I think it's 64. But we've got, people from Bulgaria. We've got people from Serbia. We've got people from Tahiti. We've got people from France. We've got, it's just Paraguay, Brazil. It's truly worldwide, and to have them all here is pretty cool.
And we got to speak with the Grandmaster of Honduras.
Was
that yesterday? The day before?
Yesterday.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. He was a great interview.
Yeah.
I was reading Most Worshipful Cameron's message on. He's been posting about his Committee of Recognition.
Yep. And Commission on Recognition.
Georgia's back again.
Yep.
And
the country of Georgia.
The country, yes. Yeah, not the state. No. They're back again, petitioning requests for recognition, and it's an interesting process.
Yeah, yeah. It's I haven't sat in any of those meetings, but I bet those are fun.
Yeah. And he explained it similarly to how the Grand Lodges, they're all sovereign, right? So even though the committee might make a recommendation or at least give the facts, if you will, they don't make, I guess it was, they provide the facts, but they don't give recommendation.
Right.
Because
they
don't want to sway the independent sovereignty of each Grand Lodge and their own recognition of whatever country or area is petitioning.
Yeah, they basically say, okay, particular lodge, and then it's up to the different Grand Lodges whether or not they have recognition.
So I know we'll have you on, and hopefully, at your will and pleasure, in a few months here as your term wraps up. Is there, what do you see kind of coming out of this conference and momentum and things happening over the next couple of months?
I think the one of the presentations that the Masonic Renewal Committee gave yesterday was the Masonic Renaissance, and I think we're really seeing that. We're seeing a huge increase in the amount of people interested in Masonry. And I think what we have to do is we have to, I think you and I have talked about it before, you get the guys in the door, but then you have to deliver on your promise of education. You have to deliver on your promise of whatever you're promising them. You then have to deliver on that to keep them there. Otherwise, they're just going to walk out and never come back. And so I think that's the retention is really more the focus now than bringing guys in.
Sure.
And that's, I think, the right focus.
Yeah.
We talked about the chairman of the committee this year, Kessler, Richard Kessler from New York, talked about when he was Grand Master 20 years ago, it was all about getting rid of the requirement for proficiency, getting rid, doing the one-day conferrals, doing all this stuff to get guys in quicker, because they thought at that time that was the right thing to do. And we've kind of seen now that that's really not. That's really, I think, moved us backwards a little bit. And so we're trying to come back, and put some of those requirements back in. You'll see, spoiler alert, you'll see a couple of resolutions, Grandmaster's recommendations regarding proficiency that I've put forward this year. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Excellent. I had a question and now I lost it. I was listening primitively to your. In that vein of retention, I've started to change my dialogue. If I'm going to sign a petition, like this last one I signed with one of our brothers, it was a son actually from a DMLA. And so it was a little more close, a little more special. It was part of his DMLA experience. But when he asked me to sign, I said, I'm honored to do this. But understand, this is a contract. This isn't just a piece of paper that I'm signing. This is a contract between you and I, and whatever I can do to help you become a better man, a better Mason, that's my goal. And it's not just something I'm signing here. I looked him in the eyes when I was saying it and kind of paused for effect and signed my name. And his dad's been taking care of his, doing all his ritual as we're going through his proficiencies and whatnot, but as he continues to develop, my goal is to try and be right there with him. And I haven't, honestly, I haven't signed a petition in a while, and so kind of on purpose, because I want to know about that man. I want to know why he's coming in, what's going on. Yep. I want him to be serious and ready for it.
Yeah, days of having a guy come to dinner and then have three Masons sign his petition, I hope those days are gone. You have to get to know them, like we talked about with our six steps. You have to get to know them to know whether or not they're a fit with your lodge, and also whether or not they fit, you know, they see you as a fit for them. It's important on both sides.
I was just listening to another podcast this morning, of course.
an old episode of ours, I'm sure. Yeah,
I think it was the Meat Act and Part guys out of Illinois, and they were talking with the chairman and one of the, they call him district membership representatives, Victor Magnus, by the way. Shout out to Victor. He listens to the show. He's a great guy from Wisconsin, and I'm a fellow cheesehead. I was born and raised in Wisconsin, so it's a little bit humbling. But I'd love at some point to get, again, Victor, if you're listening, I'd love to get your chairman on the show at some point to talk with you. Wisconsin has an amazing follow-up program that they do, similar to New York. They use a CRM, and it's a whole process to make sure that guys are being followed up with. And they were quoting some information off of Linda's. We had an interview with Linda Patch yesterday, who's the executive marketing director for Northern Jurisdiction of Masons, Scottish Rite, and some of the statistics that they quote, unfortunately, their first survey showed 60-some percent of men that were inquiring weren't being followed up with. And unfortunately, their follow-up survey indicated that it increased to 80-some percent. So
89%, yeah. I think is what they, yeah.
It's a little bit sad. So I'm excited to hear her presentation today and further that mission. Hopefully, we'll get to fix that problem, if you will, follow-up.
That just made me think of another presentation that I gave yesterday that we have this guy that has created a website, and he took one of our temple board associations, and it was administratively dissolved. Well, he petitioned with the state and took control of that temple association and is using that to, basically scam money from people. And he's got, the Grand Lodge of Texas, the Grand Lodge of California. He's got stuff on there that he even went so far as to take the Not Just a Man, a Mason.
Oh, really?
And created a page that says that. Wow. and a link to, so my presentation was about we're struggling in each state on how we deal with that and how we attack these guys. We need to come together as an organization, as a huge, national organization, and go after those guys and try to, we're not going to get rid of all of them, but maybe we can, stop a few of them. And they're giving Masonry a bad name, and they're using our, that's another thing that they talked about at her presentation yesterday was, the square and compass is one of the most recognizable symbols in the world. Well, they're using that and giving it a bad name, and we have to stop that.
Yeah.
We have to figure out how to stop that.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks.
Really appreciate it.